that you're applying to recruiters are going through one of the most faculty. Most of the rest of the faculty have a hell of a lot of great experience behind you in terms of high school debate, college debate. They've been in for many, many years, and so they're kind of a little, they don't quite have the same perspective that I do. I've been in a class, a public speaking class. That was my first experience anyone in. And, you know, they took the class and they tried to get into the debate, and I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to give up that weekend to you out of your mind. You know, that sounds like such a dress. You know, and then you're just like, no, it was just a constant persuasive effort where Tuna was never like saying, you've got to go into the debate, but he's just like, yeah, why don't you just hang out in the locker room and make yourself comfortable? You know, when I walk by and be like looking at these interesting people and I just start talking to them, and I thought it was really interesting. I was just kind of welcoming to the space. And eventually I got really curious and I wanted to find out. So they persuaded me to go to the papers and they said, oh, it won't be that. You won't have to do too much work. It goes by out so much life. So they I'll talk about that. So they dragged me to a tournament, you know, and you know, I was like, well, I can't stop the next tournament that time. I was competing in a tournament on the weekend, and I was snowboarding all week, so I'd be like, I snowboard Friday morning, I fix the man weight with my snowboard, and I like throw in the water, and I'm like, Jeff, are you putting work on? I'm busy, you know. So I know what your students are going through. I've been there very recently, and so I think I have a special understanding of what it takes to recruit people. I went to Chico State and to get my master's degree. There were four arts innovators that have been basically recruited from the JCs in California. They had been paid money to come here. And when I got there, it was really difficult because they'd never been on a squad where anyone had been like paid to debate, or like even financially assisted, like brought there to debate. And I was like, oh, this is weird. And it was very difficult for me because they all had these expectations. Like, we're special, and because you recruited us here, so you travel with us all the tournaments, and if we don't have enough money, we can do 10,000 with many local tournaments. And that was like their philosophy, and I was like, I'm there because this is their senior year. We're not going to not have a team after you leave because we spent all the money traveling to national tournaments your last year. And so we said you're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to drive to a few tournaments that you want to fly to. You're going to have to not go to this one tournament that you really, really want to go to. I'm sorry, but we can spend that money and we can bring four or five teams to a tournament locally. And so immediately, I made enemies because I was coming from a different perspective of, hey, the people who are on your campus are the most important people. If you want to serve the community of your campus, you want to go to your administrators and say, listen, I'm coming to people from all these classes, I'm providing a service to this community, right? That's something that a lot of community teams have difficulty explaining to their administration. I've recruited people from all these other places or attracted from other high schools, and so you're not really adding much to the service to the rest of the students. And so I'm a firm believer that this should be an activity where we're trying to bring more people in than is traditionally thought to be important or acceptable or worth our time. I think that on every campus on this new country, in this world, there are debaters, there are IE forensic caterers that are just walking around and no one has clued them in that that's their problem. And we went there, we had like no novice teams. I left last year, we had 12 people, we have 5 of them who are here, you know, who are just like young people out today. We have a whole bunch of novices who just started, and it's all because we decided we are going to get people from this university. That's the way it can be done, that's the way it should be done. There's no reason that they can't do it, and we did it. I mean, we won the West Division with one senior, and everyone else was new to this. And we just said, we can do this. We didn't, I mean, obviously you need to coordinate it right, but fundamentally, I'm a believer that every single one of you have a successful team if you can do what you need to do to work with the administration. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. If you can do what you need to recruit, and if you can do what you need to retain and get people right for these tournaments. If you look on by sort of the way I organized it, I've broken it up into the three sections of recruitment, which is the first thing you need to do as soon as you get back to campus. You need to immediately start a recruitment with literary campaign. As soon as possible, I know that sounds as soon as I get back to Cornell. There are three basic audiences that that I see that you need to sort of, you need them to see and hear about what you're doing. The first one is anyone with any type of experience. Obviously, if you have a little bit of experience, that's going to make your job a lot easier. What you should do is you should call your admissions office, and you should have a flag. Any student from high school who's coming into your school who has, let's see, mock trial, IB, debate, model UN, student government, you should, anything you should do, let me know about this. Because they might not even know that debate exists on campus. Right? There's so many things going on. Right? In the information age, constant overload. You need to do something that sticks out a little bit further. You need to advertise. On many things, advertising. But you need to know where your market is. Your market is, there's going to be some experienced people who, hey, why not? College might be different, might be exciting, a little more competitive. So you need to know where these people are. And you need to send out a packet. A packet of the history of your program, your contact numbers, email numbers. You just send out stuff and you say, this is what we're about. Here's how to get it. Here's when our first meetings are. We would love to have you. Give me a call. And you might send out 100 packets and get one or two people or three people. But it's amazing. You will get people to say that, right? All you need to do is you need to get the word out. And so you need to do it immediately too, because everyone's going to get in there and call. They're going to be overwhelmed with all these different things going on and so many different choices to make and activities to be involved in, and you need to sell yours. And I'm going to talk to you about how we can sell this activity, because obviously we should be able to persuade people that we're doing something worthwhile, or we're probably need to work on our own skills of persuasion. So that's the experience. Send it out to working people. This is just, I think, every incoming student, I know that's probably out, every incoming student is getting something that says, Cornell Forensics, here's our contact number, but not a thick packet, like, about the history of the team, if you have a history, or, you know, the more, they're interested in one page wire that says, this is where we are, this is how you contact us, check it out. Obviously, there's different ways you can present that depending on the type of students at your school. And depending on the type of students that tend to join debates in your school.
Was your university willing to give you a mailing on the list of incoming students? Or are you doing that more on the dorms?
If every dorm is going to have one, and then we're going to have posters and all the high traffic campus knows, which is wherever they let you put them up, you're going to just go around and you'll see like boom, 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 boom. I mean, I've been in debate meetings, the first debate meeting, people go, how did you hear about this?
Saw a poster. That would be cool.
I mean, it's just a random way. Advertising is like, you just get your message out there, you know that you're not going to get that many people, but you will get a few. But you have the content that you're investing your time with, and it is worthwhile. That is definitely an important way to recruit people, is just put up posters. Talk about it in your classes. It's amazing to me how many people who coach like somehow like separate that from them. Like that activity from which they forget that their class is like, it is an incredible translation to recruit. I recruit like six people up straight out of my class. Just because you just sort of get them into it slowly, you can work them up to it, and then at the end of the semester you can say, gee, you know, there's no reason you shouldn't go to this tournament with us. It'd be great. You know, it'll be a fun time. We'll take your travel. We'll drive you there, i.e. We might be able to help you out with food. It'll be the coolest place. But, you know, it'll be something different. It'll be something exciting. So you definitely want to, you want to consider ways that you can get people out of your classes. Talk to them about what you do. Don't be ashamed to be a debate coach like some people are like, I didn't find that. Be proud of it. I coach debate. I travel on the weekends. You know, this is what I do. Talk to them about it a little bit in class. A lot of students will come from your classes. But beyond that, if you have any communication classes, if you have any on this particular topic, political science classes, you should have those classes have someone present to them. If you have some people on your team already, have them go and say, hey, I'm on the debate team, it's great, it did this for me, it got me this internship, it got me, you know, maybe you have someone who has did debate already at your school, and you have people like that come back and say, listen, I got a job, and they're really impressed with my communication skills. Or, you know, we're debating political issues. If you're interested in sanctions and rogue states, and you want to know what the hottest, you know, research think tanks in America are talking about, you need to get involved, or you're missing out. You're totally blowing it. I remember when we had the environmental studies topic, we went to the environmental studies students, and we said, listen, this topic is for you. If you think you have to know your stuff, you know, this you should debate right now. Of course, if you get them in the door, then their particular specialization doesn't mean as much anymore, because they're like, hey, I like debating, I like thinking. So we need to focus on these audiences. Obviously, political science people are going to be interested in what we're talking about, obviously. Maybe not, you know, high school, maybe you go to the education department and say, all these students who are coming to education classes and going, you know, gee, I wish we could talk more about other possibilities rather than just learning how to deal with a, you know, the same conformed system over and over again. So clearly, you can go in and you can tell people that you're doing something that would interest them that would be complementary to your coursework. Complementary. That's going to be critical that you can create that. The other thing that, in terms of rookies, is this on-campus tournament, which is the thing that Chico State terminology like. They have the biggest tournament in California on their campus. And it's like over 100 people. They have all these different public speaking events, and they're from communication classes, but they could just be from other classes and they want to participate. And they have faculty judges, and they have awards to give. And every single person on our debate team did that tournament. Every single one. And after that tournament, which cost us nothing, we didn't have to drive anywhere, we didn't have to be, we didn't have a hotel, we didn't have anything, had on our campus, there was like, that's the thing that's going to turn, this is like too much fun. We're all like antiques, they're like, wow, that was so exciting. And it's just such a good investment that you can make. If you can find a way to just start out, even if you just have people from your class or maybe find a couple other faculty and say, let's have a debate about this topic, have a little tournament, all coordinate it, all organize it, all get the judges, it would be great for these students. It'll be a good experience for them. They can put it on their resume, whatever your university is, on campus tournament, spring 99. I mean, it's something else. Those things matter, students. You need to have something when you're going to get a job that is like, you can refer to it, you know, that you did something special, you didn't just go through the machine. Because if you don't have something special, you're just going to be, you got to stand out. And I'm going to talk more later about how we can help your students stand out by using the debate. So that's what we have to work through. The third one is kind of, I just created an artificial third category, but it's the general campus community. If faculty know about your program, if administrators know about your program, if the TV and radio stations know about your program, if all of these things, if there's a knowledge of your existence, the chances are you're going to have more people just jumping. We have a table actually shows that I don't know if you've heard about. I've had people come up to me on the street. Table actually show while I was here, and I went in some time on the first Sunday we got here, but just table actually show. They'll give you one. They have to go to public access and say, listen, I'm the debate coach at this university. We want to have a local show on high quality 8mm, and we'll give you the tape, and we want you to put it on. And we don't care if it's midnight, and you'll be amazed if somebody's looking through and they're like, whoa, what's this? And we had this thing where there was this like shifty multi-color thing in the background just so people looked at the channels like, whoa, look at that. Because it just caught their attention. You know, free. Use every resource available to you. They cannot deny you if you go in and say, hey, I want to be on public access. I don't care what time you put me on. Here's my tape. I'll give you a tape every month. I'll give you a tape. It'll just be your debater sitting and talking about an issue relative to the community, maybe to the world. I mean, while you're here, the 200th cable television show for the Lawrence Biggie will happen. And that's 200 shows, and they're constantly recycled from the, you know, if they have any extra space where there's no one else to fill in, it's like, okay, let them come on the big touch. You know, it's get out there. Set up a web page. You need to have something good for you if you're not technologically comfortable doing that. It's crucial. There are going to be students now who are going to come to your university who are going to have a lot of experience with computers. They're going to look on the computer to find out about the university. If you have a web page, that might be another way to get someone. And I'm going to talk about this later, but maybe you can find a student of yours, a debater who has these skills, and you can say, listen, I'm going to create an internship or a work specialization or whatever, or you can even volunteer time to do this, and then I'm going to write some really good recommendations. I'm going to say how you single-handedly put up the My University webpage for the finance team and so on and so forth, all responsibilities for yours. That's the type of thing you need to be doing to make a lot of work happen and free. Because they're getting something out of it. Your recommendation is the most valuable thing that they can have after college. The diploma means not much, I'm afraid to say. You have to have more than that. You need to have recommendations that say this person really excelled. They were taking responsibilities above and beyond the call. They were a hard worker, and I've already been writing recommendations for students, and it's very difficult if a student didn't do anything like that. Yeah, it's neat. You know, I'm going to tell you students that. I don't want to write a good recommendation for you. That's not the first thing you say when they walk in the door. But ultimately, that's the feeling you want to give them, is I'm here for you. Let's talk about, I think I've covered all these things. You should definitely, you need to get home, and a reason why you're here. Maybe we can do it as a sort of, we can work together, help each other out. Make that. Figure out how long you're doing on a packet for your school. Just the history of it. Who you are, what their history is, what forensics is, what debate is. Just so if someone walks in, you don't have to be like, oh, there's another 20 minutes, You can say, take this, read on your time, you'll be involved. I'll be here, and I'll more than once talk to you, set up a meeting, at your convenience. And if you can have that to students, again, more things you do to get out there, the better. Now I'm going to shift, because we're at 8:30, so I need to go through 9 more things, I'll say. All right, quick prep. Are you a freshman?
I'm just laughing at the 9 arguments.
Right. Well, they are. I'm going to make a claim and I'm going to try to back it up. So, quick prep. Right. Here's the situation. First termination in 2 weeks. Somebody walks into your meeting and says, gee, the debate sounds interesting. A lot of people are like, oh no, I can't bring them. No. If they want to go, if they're willing to give up the weekend, if you can afford it, you bring them. Even if they do no work, just bring them to the tournament where they can see the lines going that, and it'll blow their mind. And if they don't like it, so be it. That's fine. And friendship is not for everybody. But I have seen more than one student come up to me after the first meal. Oh my God, I can't do this. You did this. And then they did that. And it's just full. And the other times, like, what happened? I'm confused. I'm like, oh, we'll deal with that. But bring people to tournaments as quickly as possible. And the way you do that, number one, you've got to keep it simple. Okay? When they walk in for the first time, you cannot be like, well, I think our strategy clearly is going to be that we're going to have a mutually exclusive counterplan plus net benefits, and I think that our new business side is going to be really tight. So you definitely want our teams, we're just going to rock them. We're just going to rock this region. I think that, we're the best place to do that. No. No, you've got to be like, you're talking to your brother or your mother saying, yeah, this is what I do. Let me explain it, basic level. Obviously, when you're having debate meetings with your varsity debaters, it has to be like that, otherwise the meeting takes forever. It's got to be like, boom, 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 quick, I have here, we went through shortcuts and conflict starting. We need that so that we're efficient and we're debating people who understand that language. But we have things to adapt. And someone walks in and goes, what's the debate? Like, what do you do with that one? You need to be able to answer that. That's your most important person. Once they're addicted to debate, they're being friendly. They come in front of each other. That's why I listen to jumping off cliffs and all that sort of great stuff. And the debate was the same thing to me, like before the round. It's like an amazing feeling you get. And it's a great feeling. It's like one of the best ways just to be in the moment is to get up in front of people and express yourself. So, let people, get people to do this. Attract them into it. Don't make it too difficult for them. Don't make it over their head. And I put down here, what are their amazing dreams? What do they want to achieve in their life? Like, you've got to, as soon as they walk into the door, you're going to say, all right, how am I going to serve the student? Because if I can persuade them that I want to serve them, then I'm going to stand out a head and shoulders above every other professor on the campus, most likely, or at least a large majority of professors who become sort of null after a while because it's just, it's hard. It's a hard job. It's high stress, obviously, and too many demands, too difficult to lecture and effectively have any interaction. So many things that professors have to go through, but you obviously want to be able to stand above those. You want students to remember you and want to be involved with you because they know you're going to do something that, you know, somebody else doesn't care enough about them or doesn't have the time enough. You need to, I think it's really important for you to show that you really care. I talk about that a little bit with later. You definitely want to see what they need when they walk in the room. And then you say, how can we help them get that? They have this dream. They want to be a big business manager, right? You can't, ask the person when they walk in, and they say, what do you want to do? Like, they say, well, whatever you want to do, you say, okay, this is how the data can help you do that. And you just use the data as a tool to help, and you show them that it can be a tool to help them get to their dreams. Definitely do not expect too much from beginners. It never be too demanding or high stress. Most coaches who do team policy today just don't have those skills at all. They're just completely oblivious to how a sensitive person or how a young person would feel who's not very confident. They just, they're the ones who just assume that they're just looking for the fire thing, experience there. That's all they really know. That's all they want to spend their time with. You're not going to be able to do that unless you already have a program which with it. Huge reputation, a huge budget, so forth. If you want to get something started off the ground, then you cannot be demanding. You cannot be like, by next week you need to do all, you can never be as demanding as students who are very good at instance. Because these people voluntarily gave up their time, they're expecting something, the amount of money and the time that they're putting into it. But to get the student out of the class involved, the very first thing you have to do is not say, here, we're just supposed to get back to you tomorrow. That's just like, see you later. I mean, they brought me to work when I first started the base kind of laughed at them. I'm like, are you kidding? Like, China? Yeah, they're like a country. I remember they asked me to do China research, and I'm just like, what about? I mean, it's just like, yeah, we got a lot of people, right? I mean, and they said, you need to participate in the research. And then I was just like, I didn't want to anymore. I just wanted to get the fun out of it. But as soon as I got the fun out of it, then I realized it would be even more fun if I did the work. But the fun has to come first. That's like so crucial to my philosophy in life. Fun has got to come first. If life is pain, then you're probably not saying, hey, come in here, it's painful, it's marching with it, and this really sucks. They're going to work all night, they're going to be asleep. Yeah. How many people are going to be like, you're running up the door as fast as they can? I mean, you want to make it seem that it's a kind and gentle activity, which it isn't, but it can be with your support. It can be something you can give them that kindness. You can, when they come out of the ground crying because they just lost, they don't understand, you can be like, it's going to be all right. I'm going to support you. I'm going to care about you. Another very important thing you're going to have to do is, obviously, it's all debate. You have to do research. There's no real way that you can avoid knowing what's going on. I mean, unless you always want to look like a fool. You have to keep up. Now, obviously, you can keep up at different levels. You can be a team that researches less connected to Clinton all the time, or you can be a team that's going to attract novices. So what that basically means is that you need to do research to find out what you're going to be interested in. What are you interested in? About what do you think? Before you even comment on their cases, what do you think about what's going on in these countries? What do you think we should do? Get them to offer their opinion. Get them to express some interest in something, and then you are going to have to coordinate. Well, we probably need someone to find a piece of evidence which says one little thing, not too much, but just a start. And you have to kind of gradually build up to it and never give any one person too much work, but kind of let them volunteer, to do a little bit of the work. We never ever require an officer to do anything on my team. We never require. If you don't want to do research, that's first permit, that's fine. The second permit, that's fine. And then usually after that, then it's like, should I continue investing money in you if you're not going to do work and you're not going to put in an effort, or should I try to find someone else? That's a hard decision to make. At first, I would say, just let them in, as much as possible, and see if they get into it. And if they don't get into it, then it's time to talk to them about how much commitment level they have, and what do they want to get out of this activity, and can they find a partner who's compatible with them? I mean, it can be very brutal sometimes to have someone on your team who just doesn't want to do any work, and they just want you to drive them around so they can go check out different places that they haven't been yet. I mean, you're going to get that too. So I'm not saying let people who do nothing spend your team. I'm saying don't expect anyone who just joined your team to do any work. Expect that after you've invested something into them. And let them know, quite frankly, we are investing in you, right? It costs us money. We want to give you the opportunity, but you have to return something. We're going to give a little, and if you like it, you can give a little back. So, but you have to be the one who's coordinating this and facilitating this. You cannot expect them to jump out and say, I know everything, and I'm going to lead the way. That's why you're here. So that when you go back and have it in front of you, you can sort of give them guidance. Because they're not going to know, any comprehension of how to deal with what a tough policy debate is. You are the one who's going to guide them through the force. You're the one who's got to give them the confidence they can make it to the other side, and you just have to, you know, only go like 10 feet at a time in the beginning. The fourth thing here is, we're just a very practical thing. Before you go to the first time, just give them some from a kid. That's it. Just bring them in front of a kid. You tell them what the negative is and that you're going to go negative, but if they feel comfortable with the permanent case, then that's the best thing you can do because it's not that much work. It's finite. Know what your policy and your advocate is, and you're never going to prepare them for all the other cases. Just maybe talk to them about it, but don't require them to do any work. And only evidence they really need for their first tournament is an affirmative case. So don't think you need to go to a tournament with a whole bunch of bid backs. Because the first tournament, the only thing they need is an affirmative case to start. And then on the next you say, you can try to think critically, we'll see if we come up with anything, if you need a case to have stuff on, we might share it with you, we'll give you a few things. But just, you know, that's a good way not to overwhelm them. Just give them an affirmative case, and that's another thing I'll say. It's okay to give them an affirmative case. If you expect a novel team to research their own affirmative case before they go to the first tournament, you have to establish a huge barrier. That is a lot of work. Obviously, you want them to be able to do that after they get into it because it'll be much better, they'll learn a lot more, but the first case, I couldn't imagine writing the first case. I would never debate. And I know a million people, not a million, but every one of my class, they want to debate, they would have never done it if they would have to write their own case to start. Because it's just too much work. You need to be able to say, here's an example, or here's what we think is a good example case, like our business topic. Here's a case that says, let's mention this from Cuba, right? Here's a case. This is just like we gave everyone here at this camp a practice case. You can do that to new recruits. Give them something, just an affirmative case, something finite, small, they can go and they get the experience. And if they really like it, then they're obviously going to come back for more, and they're obviously going to put more effort into it. But you have to do it in slow, slow steps. You cannot, here's 1,000 pages, we're going to go to our first tournament. So I remember seeing people drag around and like, what are we doing with this? Like, I have no idea. It's a horrifying concept. It's way too much. It's overwhelming. This is not something that I want to do. It's got to be like, first you put a little bit on their plate, and then they go, okay, that was good. Then you put a little bit more on their plate, and they go, okay, that was good. And then they put a little bit more on their plate. But you've got to be the one who's serving them. You've got to be the one who's giving them their portion, and every person is going to be different. You're going to have some students who are just like, I want to do a lot of work. I want to put a lot of effort into it. I want to do a lot of research. I want to do a lot of books. I want to go to the library. Then you say, okay, you're hungry. Take some more. But don't take any more than you need. Right? And if you're not hungry, okay, that's fine. You don't have to take something to eat. So that's really your job. And that's like, I think, one of the most important jobs of a coach is knowing how much work to give someone. If you don't give them any, then they're not going to grow. And you give too much, then they're going to be afraid.